Before I get started today, I wanted to make sure that I gave a big shout out to Jeannie Coleman Coaching. Jeannie is a stress and mind-body coach based out of Los Angeles. She spent 16 plus years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and many other TMS symptoms that left her both physically and mentally depleted. She healed herself completely, and now she's obsessed with getting her clients fast results through her one-on-one coaching program, which includes weekly support, consistency, and accountability. Perhaps you've tried therapy for years, or perhaps you've been working on your childhood or past traumas and now just want a different approach. It's time for action and a results-driven approach instead, one that specifically focuses on TMS and mind-body healing. Working with Jeannie in itself lowers stress because she'll take the overwhelm out of this mountain of TMS info and customize a simple game plan that works best for you and your current lifestyle. I will tell you from personal experience, I've had Jeannie in my home. She is like a friend, and she will talk to you like a friend, and she's somebody that can coach you to your path of success. You see, I understand that it could be scary to reach out for support. I've known Jeannie for years. Like I said, we've done personal interviews in 2021 and in 2022, and she's been great. She's a coach dedicated to you thriving in all areas of your life, not just your health. Even if you're nervous or stuck in overthinking, I would recommend booking a free 45-minute call. I've been in sales for a long time, and for somebody to voluntarily take on a 45-minute discovery call with anybody with no guarantee of making anything after that, it's going to be well worth your time. It's a big deal. She'll make you feel comfortable. She's fun to work with. And if you're not getting results that you crave, it's time to step it up and check this out. Go to JeannieColwin.com. That's JeannieColwin.com to book that call today. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. It is Thursday, June the 1st. Yes, we are 20 days from summer, 21 days from summer. 20 days? 20 or 21 days. We'll leave it at that. Until summer. Crazy, I know. Before I get this podcast kicked off, let me make sure that I give a shout out to the patrons of the podcast. If you are interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. Let me make sure that I am giving the thank yous where the thank yous are due. So let's start off with Barb and Arnie. Sarah, there's a name update in here. All your fragments belong to us. So I'm not sure. That name change came in on a current account holder that's been placing donations towards this podcast for over 4 years now. So thank you. Julie and Ross, Christina, Mike, Michael, Tony, Kelly, Irina, Mindy, Jason, John, Dominic, Enda, Elise, Emily, Kirk, Daniel, Deborah, Julie, Jeff, Albert, Lauren, and Teresa. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast every single week, every single month. You are greatly appreciated. Somebody's pulling into the driveway. Greatly appreciated. See, the garage door is open, so you may hear kids screaming. You may hear birds chirping. There's a lot that could be going on, but it's a great environment. I really thoroughly enjoy it. So this week's podcast is a little bit different because it was me being on a show and not a mind-body related show. So I haven't talked a lot about this. Maybe I'll talk a lot about this in the next few weeks, but currently in the best shape I've been in a long time, maybe even forever. I changed up my diet a little after Thanksgiving and then really got more into high-intensity interval training back in January. And so I'm down a little over 20 pounds at this point, which doesn't sound like a ton, but 20 pounds going from 187 to 166 or so, it feels enormously different. So being able to do all sorts of things. Strength has taken a little bit of a hit just in terms of like raw strength of being able to do weightlifting every single day, which I talk about in this Instagram Live that I did with the head coach and owner of CrossFit Linchpin, which is the program that I do and I would highly recommend, really of all fitness levels, because there's several workouts per day that are programmed for various types of skill levels. And so I would recommend taking a shot at that and seeing what you think. But yeah, so anyway, I've been doing this for a few months, and it's been great. Nice variety of programming, really well priced, $15 a month. All of it's delivered to my cell phone on a really great app called Beyond the Whiteboard. But I ran a 10K a couple of weeks ago, and I posted a really great time for that in the pouring down rain. I can do all sorts of things. I just PR'd my box jump. I had a 37-inch vertical, which I don't think I've ever surpassed 34 or 35. And I put the video on my Instagram. So if you want to see it, go to @EddieLindenstein. I posted it today, or I posted it yesterday as you're listening to this. And I probably had 40 or 41 inches in me, but didn't want to take a tumble. So nevertheless, but this interview is cool. It's about 35 minutes, and he does a little plug for the platform in the beginning. And like I said, if you're looking for an inexpensive workout program, like I said, every single day they've got programs for people that have all the equipment like me, but then they have people that have limited equipment. So just a couple of dumbbells, people with no equipment at all. And you can be on vacation or you can be wherever and be able to get everything that you want to get done. So highly recommended. So this is me with Pat Sherwood on the CrossFit Linchpin Instagram Live from last week.
Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Let me fix my screen here. Man, that was fast. I got to give you credit.
Well, I mean, technology sales is what I do. I'm on video all day. And yeah, even the fact that, like, I don't know, it's 12:01 and I was thinking, oh no, did I do something wrong? Going back and looking at the email, making sure I did it right.
I usually give like just a minute just in case, you know, because, you know, sometimes people are a little late or whatnot. So what do you do?
I work for, I sell HR technology software, and it was very field-based. I'm not actually sure. I just should look on a map where Ravensdale is, but I'm basically Snohomish County, Skagit, Whatcom, Island, San Juan, like kind of over on the west. Oh, and then When COVID happened, this turned into a full, basically a remote job. So the garage is not only where the motorcycles are housed and where the garage gym is and all the kids' stuff, but it's also my office now. So it's good. I don't leave. I'm here all the time.
So it's when I look outside my window here in Washington, it's gray today. Is it gray for you as well?
It's beautiful. Couldn't be better. I just mowed the lawn. Yeah. It's gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. We got crazy heat last week and it was hot and sunny and beautiful, but we're not getting that today. So I got a couple of questions for you before you even get into Linchpin stuff. So you're working from home now after mm-hmm. the pandemic. I obviously work from home as well, and I know that some people love it or hate it. And was it a tough transition for you? Like, you know, some people struggle with, well, now I have to act like I'm at work and not actually do family stuff. How has that been for you?
The first, like, when the kids were out of school, like when the schools were closed, that was really hard. So like, cause it was like my kids had, like my oldest at the time had curriculum that like we had to do. So we had to homeschool, but then also pretend like we have jobs mm-hmm. that we have to do all the time too. So that first like March through June was really tough. But then it got increasingly easier, and my sales numbers have been, you know, they've been going up. But because the thing is, like, I would sleep in my own bed every night, so there wasn't really travel per se, but I was usually driving about 3,000 miles a month, which is a lot. Oh, and so removing 4 hours a day from sitting in the car and being able to do other things that are work-related made me a lot more efficient. So it was not – if I didn't have kids, it would have been the easiest transition in the world. But since I have kids, it was tough for the first few months.
Funny, I think I had blocked that part out until you just mentioned that, but now I can remember vividly the kids sitting at the computer, us trying to get them to log into whatever online course was supposed to work, but then they'd get kicked out, and it was just, oh, that was a rugged nightmare. Yep. Do you think you're going to be able to, it's amazing that you have recouped that much time that you don't have to spend in the car now. I hear more and more companies trying to pull the people actually back. Do you think is your company going to try to pull you back, or do you think you're good to go and you can stay home?
It's really at the discretion of my clients. And so if they have a preference for me to be there for presentations or anything, then I can, but that's like a one for every 20 clients probably request that. And so it's, and our corporate office is in a suburb of Chicago. So I didn't have a physical office anyway. It was more, I have my laptop and I'll go find a Whole Foods cafe to work in, or I would like drive to Bellingham and work at the university and wait basically for a client meeting to happen so I could pitch across town and go do something. But now it's been a, I'm in a very lucky
Good for
position.
you.
Yeah, I've been a very lucky position. I know the pandemic was very unkind to a lot of people industry-wise with their jobs and things like that. My company didn't lay off anybody. We were
Oh
pretty lucky in
wow,
that
good for
sense.
you.
We got, 401ks froze and raises froze and stuff like that happened, but the job part's been, and the flexibility's been really nice. So it's kind of a perfect scenario.
Well, so now let's again, even before we get to Lynchman, talk about yet another important aspect that you mentioned. What do you have for motorcycles? What's your flavor? What do you like?
So I'm an adventure motorcycle rider, and I did street riding exclusively for the first like 10 years or so that I was riding, and then just sort of I watched. So I think it was like 2004. I got food poisoning in 2019, and I needed something to just throw on Amazon Prime that I can lay in bed and drink Gatorade and eat bananas and rice and that kind of stuff. And so I bought the whole season of that Long Way Round
Oh yeah,
from
I
the
saw
two
that with
thousands.
Ewan McGregor. Is that it?
And
It's
yeah, Ewan
fantastic.
McGregor and Charlie Borman. Yeah,
Fantastic.
so I sat there in bed for 3 days and just binge watched that. And I was thinking, oh, adventures around the world. Like I want to ride to Russia. I want to go to Iraq. I want to go like ride through all these obscure places. That hasn't happened. But I switched to adventure riding exclusively, and I've seen some of the most amazing terrain now that I've moved off pavement. And my buddies and I, we do like a big trip every year. Last year we did pretty much all off-road. We went to Idaho, we went to Montana, we went to Washington, and kind of did it in such a way that it was on
Oh,
the
really?
off-road sections. And then this summer we're going to do something similar. We're going to Yellowstone in July, and that's going to be amazing, the trip of a lifetime. So I love it.
So when you were on street riding for a decade, was that slow and low on the cruiser or sport bike just with your hair on fire?
No, in the middle, I rode what's considered a standard bike. So upright, it looks like a sport bike, but you sit upright and it usually they're detuned a little bit. I've never been a, I think, like, honest to goodness, I bet I've hit 100 miles per hour for a total of 3 seconds in my whole life.
Okay.
So I'll go 7 or 8 miles an hour over, but for me, it's far more about the, one of my favorite movies is Point Break with Patrick Swayze. And when he describes the euphoria of surfing, that's a lot of ways how I feel about riding. And
Okay.
so I don't want to be in situations where I'm putting myself in jeopardy or harm. I want to enjoy the scenery.
And now, and I've rode motorcycles for years and years of my life and had some great experiences. And I'm also very lucky to be alive because of wrecks that I had, both my fault 100% and ones that were not my fault. I've had both until finally I was like, okay, the universe is telling me to hang this up. But I did get into some adventure riding for a while as well. So what have you got for an adventure bike?
I've got a Yamaha Tenere 700 at this point that I've modded a lot to kind of suit my needs a little
Of
bit better. I'm
course.
sh I'm shorter. I'm 5'7", and so being able to accommodate it and reduce some of the weight in different places has been really advantageous for me. So that's what I've got now. I had the bike before that was a Yamaha Tenere or Super Tenere 1200, which was about 150 pounds heavier. Just a lot to navigate, and that's a big. I had thought for a long time that to have fun touring, you needed a 1000 cc or higher bike, and this 700 is great. I swapped out the front sprocket. It could run all day. I could do like, I mean, I've done 10 or 12 hour days on it without an issue, and it's been a blast. It's kind of the forever bike, and it's sort of one of those things where like you buy a very cheap platform. It's one of the least expensive bikes that you can get, kind of like a KLR 650 or something, but then really make it your own. And that's what I like is sort of the modularity around it that I can do.
I had a couple bikes on my own, but then my buddy Ian Wittenberg and I were lucky enough to do a very long trip on a set of KLR 650s. And I always thought, just like you had to have 1,000 cc's, that this whatever it happened to be in a KLR 650 is about as basic and dirt cheap and unsophisticated as you can possibly get, and it did everything just fine. It did, there's some creature comforts that I would have preferred, sure, but it did it just fine. So That's yep. cool, man. That's really cool. And especially to be able to do some trips, like you just said, with Idaho, Montana, Washington, and actually be able to largely navigate that off pavement. That's pretty, mm-hmm. that's pretty cool. So, okay. So that's filling your garage. And then as I see behind you, you obviously have some very cool weightlifting setup. So the garage is the bike storage / fitness arena.
Yeah, it's come across a lot of ideations of its name. I think I've settled 7 or 8 years ago. Somebody called, my last name is Lyndon Stein, and somebody just on a whim called it Lyndon Swole, and so that sort of stuck as the name for the gym is Lyndon Swole. And I built the garage gym in 20. I mean, I was super lucky. I remember when the pandemic hit and people couldn't find equipment, mm-hmm. and that was awful, and like it sucked for people that. All their gyms were closed and they wanted to have something. I built mine out in 2013. Like you see the Penlay plates, like
yep.
though, like, you know, I got those in 2013. I got a DHS weightlifting competition bar in 2013. So most of this stuff, I've got a platform that I had a carpenter come in and he made I'm looking at it now, but he made a platform that was in accordance with the slope of my garage. So it's
awesome.
Level,
yes.
which is really nice. And the rig I got years and years ago and like the, I've got like a really old Airdyne that's discontinued. I can't even find it now, but it's on a fan. It's perfect. It's non-chain. Like it's no work. And then I've got a garage heater on a timer. So in the colder months, I have it flip on at about 5 o'clock. And even if it's 20 or 30 degrees in here, it's 50 or 55 when I get started. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect. The hot days are way harder in here than the cold days are.
I agree. I had a garage heater installed a few years ago. Out in our garage, and that was just an absolute game changer for just,
yep.
you know, some days it's hard enough to walk out there if you're not feeling motivated, but to walk out into just an ice box and grab a
yeah.
cold bar, it's like, oh,
Harbell, yeah,
that's just making it worse. So if you can make yourself have a higher level of compliance, I think that's a very yeah. a very wise investment. So give us a little backstory, you know, kind of give us your brief CrossFit history, you know, what
yeah
when did you start and what was your journey been like, because obviously you didn't start with Lynchpin, you started somewhere else, so where, what was the beginning?
So it kind of goes back even further than that. I coach youth sports, and so a lot of what I talk about is sort of like the back in my day thing, and I often tell stories about how I played competitive baseball for a long time, and I sustained what I later think is probably a labrum or a rotator cuff issue, kind of like a dead arm basically, and that kind of curbed my competitive baseball life when I was a teenager, and started putting on a lot of weight, but then started working out at just like my local rec center and a gym and things like that, and that was back in 2002 all the way up until 2011. And then a couple of friends of mine that I worked with, they'd wear I think it was called Foundations CrossFit in Seattle or Firebreather okay. CrossFit. It was like a bunch of them that were kind of in the Seattle metro area, and they would talk about it and sort of describe what it was like. And then the only reference point that I would have would be like YouTube videos or the CrossFit games at the ranch. And so like, it just was far more than what I kept having excuses like why this isn't the right thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one that opened up a couple of blocks from my house, you know, what, like a 1 minute drive, two turns, very easy. And went down there to check it out. Met some buddies. I remember I called ahead of time, and one of the co-owner, she had said, because I was like, hey, I'm not very, here's the time I get off work. I'd love to come in around 3 or 3:30. It says there's a course. What do I need to get started? Kind of the basic stuff. And she said, she's like, oh, well, it's a lot of fun. She's like, the guys that come in here then, though, like they're pretty hardcore. And those guys are total teddy bears that are not hardcore. And we joke about it to this day because we're still buddies, you know, 12 years later, whatever.
Right.
But I went down there and tried it out, and it was like a very, like most days were 30 minute AMRAP, like 40 minute AMRAP, like that was almost every single day. And I got in really good like endurance shape.
Sure.
By doing that. But at the same time, like my body was just very kind of like, it just sort of hurt like kind of all the time. I think it was just maybe too much. It was a lot of like kind of overuse injuries, tendonitis in my elbows and my biceps and my shoulders and stuff like that. Ended up migrating to a different gym. And when I got to this new gym, after, I don't know, 7 or 8 months, or no, it was a year. This guy was very weightlifting centric, was a competitive weightlifter on the national level and stuff. And so now it was going from like 45 minute workouts, which I really enjoyed, even though they didn't make me feel super good all the time, to now they were like, workouts like Chief or like ones that were 7 or 8 minutes, but very, very heavy and very sprint. And like, and I was kind of like, I'm not getting a good workout, you know, like kind of just, I couldn't find a,
you had both
a balance.
Extremes
that's
there.
Actually, yeah, right. There's nothing in the middle. That's where I ended up really falling in love with weightlifting though. And that's kind of where I continued doing, I was doing competitive, like I was doing meets pretty often. Like there was a while there where I was doing one a month for years and, and loved it. I ended up joining after a couple of years, CrossFit Industrious, Work Hard, Live Fit, which tends to have a pretty good brand recognition, at least in our area. And I was there all the way up until the pandemic started. And that was a wonderful experience. And now it's just, I'm at a point now where schedules have adjusted to such a degree that I can get up at 4:30 in the morning and I can go hit a 5 a.m. class, or I can wake up at 6:20 and work out in my garage and walk right in to get the kids ready for school and leave 5 minutes later. And that's just better for my schedule. So I had done, since the pandemic started, I was, I did Catalyst. I did, there's a lot of like online programs that I've done, but what I was seeking, because a lot of times those were 5 days a week, 75 to 90 minutes, very weight. I was listening to, the most recent Linchpin conversations, and you were talking about being under the barbell all the time, the heavy barbell all the time with seemingly no end in sight. And that was great for the first couple of years of the pandemic. But ultimately, like I wanted to find something that what 60 minutes that is catered a little bit more to who I am, which is a dad with a couple of kids and a full-time job. And like an hour is ideal. Like that's what I can manage. And I had a really tough time finding a program that really fit that. So I was on a Reddit forum, and it was from years ago, and there was just lots of talk of Linchpin. And just the name kind of made me think this is going to be super hardcore, and this guy, Pat Sherwood, is going to kill me. Because just Linchpin, it sounds tough, you know? Like, right. It sounds like it's going to crush me. And I think I signed up, it was either in December or January for the trial, and I was like, yeah, this is perfect. Because every day was usually 50 to 55 minutes, and I usually tell my friends that, like the guys I worked out 10 years ago in CrossFit, the hardcore guys, I always tell him, like, it's almost like, and I'm sure there's intentionality here, but it's almost like Pat knows when I'm smoked and I need a day of 3 800-meter sprints, which I think is tomorrow. That's what's on the program tomorrow. And I'm like, he just sort of puts them in at the right time, but then also there's these flash 10Ks that get thrown in on a random Friday. And the day we had that a couple weeks ago, it was actually the only day where it's rained heavily in the last month. Was that perfect. One morning. Yeah, so I did the 10K, and then I went and chaperoned the zoo field trip for the third graders at the local elementary school later that day. But it's perfect, man. I gotta give you your flowers that it seems like it's well-organized, and I never feel crushed. Like, I can always hit 5 days because I just, my body feels really good a lot. It doesn't feel like it's ever too much, and it also doesn't feel like it's too little. Well, that's where I am today.
I certainly appreciate that, and you're right. I mean, none of that, nothing's just thrown on the paper. I mean, it all has a reason and a purpose. And, you know, you just see maybe one day at a time on the app, or if you go to the Instagram page. But if you took them all out and you wrote them on a whiteboard or something, you could look at the entire week or the month or whatnot. Like, you'd see this, you know, an intentional cadence of from, you know, light load to heavy load to no loading in your body whatsoever to just a monostructural day or whatnot. And you're right, you need that variance and that modulation of all those things, or else you're just going to beat people up. And it's not, it's really easy just to write a hard workout every day. It's really, really easy. Just, I don't know, put a bunch of weight, a bunch of reps, a bunch of whatever. And like, you can make a hard workout every day, but that's not going to do people's knees, back and shoulders any favors in the long term. And it's actually not going to do their fitness any favors, because they're just going to burn out. They're human beings, not androids, you know? So, but that makes me happy. That's cool. I mean, that's entirely the point. I'm curious, when you were doing a weightlifting meet a month, what was your best lift? What was the one you just loved?
So, snatch for sure, which is funny because that's what I dreaded seeing on programming for the longest time. And then once I got into it, I started getting it. You know, I don't know what the quote is, but it's like you got to do something 1,000 times or whatever before it becomes, you know, a little bit more muscle memory. And now, like if I were to say, hey, what's one thing that would be awesome to see more of? It would be like a heavy snatch day or a heavy clean and jerk day, or hey, let's do your total. But like, you know, it is what it is. And but that's definitely my favorite. The most I ever got to was, and it's all kilos, so like I have a tough time kind of mapping out like the kilos versus the pounds and figuring. Sure. I'm like, ah, oh, well, you just double the number and then you add a little bit. Like,
yeah, that's
roughly how I think about it. Right. So I got to 89 kilos, which is 196 pounds, and I cleaned 123, which was 271, and clean and jerk 120, which was 264. And at the time, I was probably about 180 pounds or so, and probably when I did that stuff. But this was 5 years ago, and the difference between 37 and 32 is in age is feels quite different. And best back squat 160, which is 352, I think, and overhead squat is probably about 225, and front squat's like 137, which is 301. And I did lift at 400 pounds and stuff. But with that being said, when all of those things were possible, running a mile was not. And so now, and then, you throw a 5K,
there you have it.
And I can do that. Yeah, and I can do that without issue. And sort of the main reason that I was seeking a strength and conditioning program as opposed to just a strength program is that, again, I do coach youth soccer, girls, U10 team, and to be able to show up, look athletic, feel athletic, show them what I would like them to do and have kind of an athletic prowess is important to me. And this is I've dropped 20 pounds since November, 21 or 22 pounds, which doesn't sound like a lot, but going from 187 to 166 feels like an enormous difference.
Yeah. You know, it's not a popular opinion, but I will, you know, stand by it and defend it. But obviously, you know, like there's a difference between sport and life, right? I mean, weightlifting is a sport, powerlifting is a sport. And so you could, if you're all in on that particular sport, then you're willing to make compromises or sacrifices in some area to excel at a niche area of your sport. Like, who cares what your 10K runtime is if you're a powerlifter? Like, that's, who cares? But if we're talking like real life, like just work and tasks and what you have to do, I would make a serious argument that obviously it'd be great to be amazing at everything. That'd be wonderful. But if you had a moderate level of strength, and that doesn't mean that you're weak, but you're not a powerlifter, like a moderate level of strength, and you had an astonishing engine, you're a dangerous human being. Like, because you can just go, and most things in the real world aren't pulling something 500 pounds off the ground once, or having to throw 300 pounds over your head once. It's some moderate work that you need to do for longer than you want to do it, you know, and that muscular stamina and just endurance is like, there's very few times in the real world, like, hey, we got some work to do. What do you need? We got to lift something really heavy once and you're done for the day. It's like, oh, wow, that doesn't happen. And it's normally not run a 10K either, right? Like, it's that middle ground of just, it kind of sucks, and it's going on for longer than I wish that it was going on for. And, you know, it just depends upon where you are in the real world. If your world is sport, then you should make some concessions. And if your world is no longer sport, then I do think it makes a little bit more sense to broaden out that capacity, you know?
Well, today's, I'm looking at my whiteboard. Today was the perfect example of, like, what I want to be able to do. My time was 1852, and it was the overhead squat, descending reps, ascending weight, and 200-meter sprints with the 3-minute rest in between. Like, you know, 10 years ago when I started CrossFit or whatever, if you would have said, okay, you're going to do 200 pounds overhead squats for multiple reps, and you're going to sprint 200 meters, and you'll have these short rest periods in between. And then when you're done, I want you to do a 10-rep back squat.
Right.
And I was totally fine, right? So I finished that. I took the kids to school. I took the dogs on a 2-mile walk, and then I started work. And my steps are at, you know, 8,000 steps, and I feel great, and I mowed the lawn, and I, you know, like, kind of this energy, I just feel like I have an energy surplus a lot of the times, whereas when it was full-time, just, you know, beating my brains in with weightlifting, like, it is cool to clean and jerk, you know, 250 at will.
Absolutely.
If I don't have the strength and capacity to go ride my electric skateboard and feel like I can bail easily, or even, I'm very excited for this summer's adventure riding because I haven't done dirt riding in really excellent cardiovascular condition. And it is, I mean, there's some days where I would finish and I look at my watch and it would say, you've burned 6,000 calories because you're constantly moving hips and shifting around and trying to be efficient with my rather small stature on a fairly big bike. And I feel like a lot of the linchpin stuff will actually translate tremendously well to that. Quickness.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing it, especially since I have a vested interest in those sort of adventures. I look forward to hearing about that. I guess something I want to make sure that we touch on before I let you get back with your day, is you mentioned in the email that you wrote that you had shoulder reconstruction in 2016, dealt with some chronic pain. So that was, you know, what was that, 7 years or so ago? Mm-hmm. How does that feel, especially for somebody who loved to go overhead and loved to snatch and all that? What gets you back on track with the shoulder, and how is it these days?
It was on Halloween Day in 2015. I dislocated my shoulder on a PR attempt, which I did make, by the way, dislocated on a snatch. And I'd been chasing this 85 kilo number for, it was over a year, like trying to get to that number. And I had so many attempts, and I had so many on video where I would lift it, the bar would go behind me. I'd lift it the next time, it would go in front of me. I just couldn't get it right. And it was very frustrating for a long time. But got it, and I have it on video where you just see my shoulder go back and back and back and then kind of tilts a little bit. And I just felt this like jolt down my arm right when it happened. But dropped the bar, I was celebrating, like I was pumped. But that night, something felt super off. And when I would do pull-ups, I would kind of feel this like, the best way I can explain it is like you're plunging a toilet and then you lose the suction. That's kind of how it felt when I would do like a pull-up or even a back squat a lot of times. So it was probably 3 months before I could even get an MRI appointment, just with how it was. But physically, I was told by the doctors that I would go and see that it sounds like it could be a stinger, but it also sounds like it could be this and it could be that. So we got the imaging done. One doctor said one type of injury, which was a really obscure injury that was not common. I couldn't find really much about it. And then another one would say this labrum thing, which was totally – so the guy who does the he's the head doctor for the Seahawks, ended up doing mine. And it was a Bankart tear, which is the bottom – basically the bottom side of your labrum, which makes sense. It's basically – he said it's typically a rugby injury. You would fall with an outstretched arm, which makes sense because I'm lifting with an outstretched arm. So I had that, went through rehab. One of the things I've really worked on in my life is just generally trying to sort of – lower the stakes on all the things that I do and not put as much pressure on myself in all walks of life, not just fitness, but also with work and with being a dad, and just understanding that, like, hey, I'm a good person, but people can make mistakes or they can not perform as well as maybe they expected to. But at that time in my life, it was all about excellence and perfection and everything. Got through, you know, I did more rehab than what was prescribed. It was an 8 to 10 month time frame to get back to all activity, and I got cleared just under 5 months. So I was really rehabbing like a pro athlete would do, except I'm not a pro athlete. And so went through that, and I was cleared for all activity. And then I just started having a litany of health issues that were occurring. It could be the shoulder I had operated on. It could be the other shoulder. It could be my neck. It could be my stomach. It was just kind of like something really wigged out in my system. And that went on for months. I had a neck procedure in Montana that I drove all the way to Helena to have. And then when I was driving back, I remember feeling worse and just feeling like I'm 30 years old and this is sort of where it feels like, you know, I was competing 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and suddenly everything feels like it's kind of crumbling in on me. And I went to see a doctor. There was a story here on the news, a doctor at UW who two chimps got into a fight at the Woodland Park Zoo. One of them tore an ACL. She was the one that was brought in to work with this chimp on a non-operative level. And the reason it struck me was that I've just had two operations. I don't want to have another one. Like, I'm not into that. So got in with her. And she had started talking to me about, you know, she looked at my imaging. I had a bad EMG. I had an MRI that kind of looked a little funky. So I had said, like, I've got these doctors saying I need to get the scalenes in my neck removed, or I need to get the pec minor on my left side removed. And this stuff doesn't make sense to me. I didn't have a traumatic injury when this began. It's just everything suddenly sort of just started shutting down. And she started talking to me about stress, really, and the importance of trying to be a high achiever, making, you know, trying to be the perfect person, perfect dad, perfect all this, how, like, the cost of perfection and really what it is. And that caught me far more down on a road of psychology and psychological. Illness and stress illness and what that can ultimately do. And I've been lucky since then. That was in 2017, at the end of 17. I've hosted a weekly podcast every single week, 275 episodes now, that's entirely on the psychological origins of chronic pain, and it gets 30,000 people a month listen to it.
Tell people, what's the name? How can they find it?
It's the Mind and Fitness Podcast, and it's on all podcast platforms. But I've interviewed the top researchers, top medical doctors, top psychotherapists in the world on this topic, and there's been some amazing recovery stories, people that have 7 disc herniations in their neck, and looking at data of what's the actual correlation between pain and seeing bad imaging. Because I remember when I had my shoulder done, the PA telling me that if you were to image people over the age of 40 and how many have torn rotator cuffs but pain and torn rotator cuffs but no pain, that there's almost no correlation between the two.
I've you heard could take the somebody same thing.
Yeah, that's never had pain. And the same thing goes with meniscus, same thing goes
like
with
spinal health
disc
and
issues up and down
as well. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so that's really kind of the path that I went through. And since then, outside of a stupid skateboarding incident that I had and a concussion I got on my motorcycle, I talked to you earlier about those kind of stress injuries that were occurring in my early and mid 20s. I'm in my late 30s. I don't get anything like that anymore. You know, I don't even use wrist wraps. Like I sort of feel invincible at this point in time. And a lot of that is because I sort of check myself before I riggedy wreck myself, but check myself with, okay, like what's going on in life? Am I trying to achieve too much right now?
Yep.
And can I lower the stakes in any way? Empty the pot. And that's why I think, again, I say like the programming has been so perfect because, hey, right when I have this day or this period of time in my life where there's just a lot going on and the last thing I need is to walk into the garage and for Pat to program, you know, I don't know, 7 sets of 10 at the back squat at 115% mm-hmm. of my one rep max. And it's perfect because those seem to be the weeks where it says, hey, not for time, go do this, this, and this. And it's like, God, like that's what I need. I just needed to feel good and I needed everything to drop. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say as well too is, you know, everybody's at a different stage, right? And so while if you look at where we've been and where we're going with regards to just a programming eye, it's like, okay, well, here's where we've been for time domains, for loadings, for are we pulling off the ground? Are we going overhead? What are the gymnastic moves? Like blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, okay, well, this workout now makes sense tomorrow based upon where we've been. So anyone following along, this makes sense for tomorrow. Let's say it's 7x1 back squat. Great. Well, super. It doesn't matter if you have 10 people or 10,000 people following it. Not all those people slept the same. Not all those people had the same day at work. Some of those people might be in a horrible place emotionally for something that we're not aware of. Like, they're all bringing different baggage into that workout, even though going below parallel makes sense for all of them based upon where they've been. And so just that, I think that educational component, these, you know, chats that we have all the time, whether it's this stuff or AMAs or whatever, just to let people know that's the workout and it's the best recommendation based upon where we've been, but nobody knows what you're going through like you. And so it's not, you know, you're in a community that you can feel authorized to. You don't have to burn it down every day. As a matter of fact, I recommend that you don't. I think that's a terrible mm-hmm. thing to do. And if you want to scale it just for the sake of scaling it, great. If you want to not run the clock, don't run the stupid clock. Just go mm-hmm. move your body and you'll probably feel so much better. And it's not like you've just tanked your fitness for the year because you decided to take it at 70% today instead of 100%. In the long run, you're probably actually doing yourself a tremendous favor. You know, like, who cares if you work out amazingly hard for 1 month? If I check back in with you 5 years later, and you're like, no, I got burnt out. I haven't worked out in 2 years. Well, yep. What was the point of that crazy hard thing that you were doing that looked so cool on Instagram? Like, you're mm-hmm. not doing it. So I think,
yep.
you know, all that stuff of like, you know, the programming is the programming, but then authorizing people to let them know, hey, you got to do you based upon where you are, how you woke up that morning. And maybe during the warm up, your body says, hey, I know that you think that this load is going to be cool today. We're here to tell you this load is not going to be cool today, you know, and it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good. Well, I'm very happy to hear that, you know, you not only got your shoulder back where it needs to be, but obviously, you know, help sort out some other areas of your life that are profoundly important and beneficial and drive a whole lot of other things as well. That's something I think people would benefit from. So hopefully they can check out your podcast. Tell us the name one more time.
It's the Mind and Fitness Podcast.
Okay. Very cool. I hope people check that out. Well, in closing, I guess I should ask you anything that we didn't cover that we should, any shout outs you want to give to people, or any lessons learned that you wish you had had, you know, prior to starting your strength and conditioning career?
So my neighbor, Steve, is a police officer. He's watching this right now. And he sent me, when I told him I was going to be on this, he sent me a picture of you and him somewhere in, it was either Central or Eastern Washington. I don't know how long ago it was, but he commented a second ago. He always does the cold water plunges, you know, thing. Like that's usually what I see him doing outside, but we live across the street from each other. And he was super stoked to hear.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
That I was going to be on this.
Give him a high five.
And then I guess I guess the only other thing is, you had sent over some questions in the email. Here's some things we might talk about, and you did hit on the favorite food. And I thought about that all week.
Okay.
And so I think that what I've landed on, because it was something you were talking about where you had said, I'm going to go get the burger, I'm going to have the bun, but the fries are something that I might leave out, and I'm not going to have any guilt about it. And I was thinking, what would be that meal for me? And it's the Mexican food, but let's chill on the chips.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the thing that I could go crazy with. But I could have Mexican food 7 days a week, and that's my thing.
Yep.
So that's the answer to that question.
I think that's a solid response, and those chips are astonishingly addictive.
Yes.
They're wonderful. You know, once you start, it's very challenging to stop.
Yep.
Man,
yep.
That's cool. Eddie, I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate you sharing your story. I appreciate you being open and honest about some of the things that you've gone through, and I appreciate you, you know, creating a podcast that might help some other folks that are going down a different journey in their life as well.
Yeah. Yeah, man, this was fun. I look forward to continuing on this path. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, stay safe on the bike, my friend.
Yeah, will do. All right, take care.
Have a good day. Bye.
All right, bye.